Welcome to the Underrepresented in Tech podcast, where we talk about issues in underrepresentation and have difficult conversations. Underrepresented in Tech is a free database with the goal of helping people find new opportunities in WordPress and tech. Hello, Sama.
Hello, Michelle. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm working from home today. The weather, I'm not feeling 100% me, so I'm working from home.
That's a good thing. And I told you this last week off screen. I love your new glasses. They look so good.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. You're so sweet. I know, I'm shy.
I have piles in my... Usually it looks so neat and orderly in here, but my desk broke. Well, bottom drawer... The bottom drawer broke off of it, so everything is out of the desk right now. So that's why it looks like I live in a hoarder home in this spot right now. Anyway.
Me, that's the thing behind me is the closet. I'm not going to show you. I need to do some tidying.
Keep it closed. It looks beautiful. Sometimes we don't know what we're going to discuss until the day of. Sometimes we know well in advance. So before we start in today's topic, I kind of want to tell people what's coming up because I'm excited about some of the episodes we have coming up. So next week, we are recording with a couple of the other organizers from WordPress Accessibility Day. So Alexander Gounder and Bette Hannon will be here. I'm also an organizer for Accessibility Day. So you better think of all the questions you want to ask us. And the week after that, we'll have a woman named Shelby, and I'm sorry, I don't have her last name in front of me right now, who does a lot of work around underrepresentation. And so she's going to come and talk to us about that. The week after that is WordCamp US, so we will not be recording that week. But we have some other things coming up after that that we're still squaring up and getting some guests in the door. But late last night, I messaged you while you were sound asleep saying, what do you want to talk about today? And true to your amazing research nature, I woke up today to like, what about this or this or this or this or this? And I'm like, she's like, you're just the best. I love it. So,
oh, thank you.
So I did pick one of the things that you had put out there, which is from an article on stevesinnottfoundation.org.uk. So this is from an organization, a foundation about education in the UK on the importance of educating women and girls. So before I start in, as I was saying, my soapbox of all of the things, why did you pick this article? Why was this one of the things that you put out?
I don't know, maybe because like where I'm coming from, or it doesn't matter at the end. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter because all of us women, I believe we go different struggle or different obstacles, but we still share a lot between each other. My mother believed in the power of education. She was always like told us, me, my sisters and I, that if I have my degree in my hand and if I can work and afford buying things for myself and supporting myself, no man or no one can control me or control the way I live. And that's absolutely true. I believe it. Back home or in a lot of countries, women depending on men, or men are the breadwinners of the family. And of course, come with it, they have to pay the price. Sometimes the woman can drop her career, or she cannot go out, or she have to be okay with the abusive husband physically, or verbally. So I believe education is really powerful, and especially if we're going to talk about the whole globe. We're not in countries in Africa or in Asia, but also especially in the States or in Europe, to know also your rights, to know what you want to do, to have the freedom that you want to be whatever you want to be, or whatever you want to do. And I feel it's so powerful. Knowledge and opening doors for yourself, that's definitely why when I see it, my eyes sparkled. Say, yeah, this topic, we need to do this one. Yeah, that's it. And also the article is really impressive. It's talking about the education of women and girls and how much is crucial for sustainable development, I'm sorry about me, but I'm having my first cup of coffee now.
Me too, me too.
And how it can benefit the social progress and human rights. And they were talking about 180 million girls enrolled in schools since the last 25 years worldwide. And education girls lead to numerous benefits, including higher earnings, better family planning, improved maternal and child health, and also building better community and better future for everyone. And also, they talk about to achieve the gender equality in education, governments must ensure inclusive quality education, address gender stereotypes, improve school infrastructure, also provide free education, because some countries around the world, they have to pay for school, especially the primary and secondary school. And sadly, a lot of people around the world, if you want to choose sending your girls to school or putting food in your family on the food on the table for your family, you will go for I want to choose food. And most of the girls are also talking about the education that are stopping them from young age marriage or forced marriage, or also of working under 18 or other things. But I think it is the most powerful tool that anyone can give her daughter or his daughter to just let them go to school and encourage them.
Absolutely. I was excuse me, looking at this article, and they cited surveys carried out by UNESCO, and these were staggering numbers. In 2018, 130 million girls in the world were not in school. I'm assuming school age, of course. In 2019, 12 million were married at an early age. And in 2019, also, 18.5 million girls between the age of 15 and 19 become pregnant, according to those statistics. Education goes a long way towards changing those numbers for sure. And it goes on to as you said, the access to education. They face obstacles: poverty, ethnicity, disability, child marriage, early and unwanted pregnancy, gender-based violence. It's just amazing. Excuse me.
No.
You're the first person I talk to in the morning, so I have to like start singing or doing some vocal warm-ups before this, so I don't have all this frog in my throat type thing.
We can do it
Anyway.
together.
Right, exactly. My neighbors will be like, "What is she singing about?" we've seen people like Mulala. I cannot pronounce her last name. Can you pronounce her last name? You probably can pronounce her last name. Yousafzai. I can't pronounce it. I apologize for
No, I
not
apologize
remembering.
because she's
I don't have it in front of me. I don't have
Pakistani.
it. I don't have it in front of me, so I'm trying to remember it. But
No.
she is somebody who is a staunch supporter, having been violently assaulted with a, she was shot in the head trying to get an education, and now she is a very outspoken person on educating women and girls in every society, but specifically where she has come from. And so, and all of the surrounding areas, of course. There are, and we look at countries like the United States, and we look at countries like the UK, and what we consider, like we used to always say, first world problems kind of thing, right? But the truth is that in countries like the United States, we still don't value women's education in the same way that we should, right? And so you don't have to be from a developing nation. You don't have to be from an impoverished nation for there to be this disparity between women's education and women's ability to obtain a job, and men's education and men's ability to obtain a job. Yes, absolutely. In some countries where there is religious rule or extremely, I mean, it is going to differ around the world. I'm not saying that the United States, it's just as bad as other places. Please don't read that into what I'm saying. What I am saying, though, is it still exists, maybe to a lesser extent, but it still exists. I have mentioned on this podcast before that in 1987, which was not that long ago, people, I promise, my own school guidance counselor, who herself had to have been college and probably master's degree educated, told me, who was, you know, a minus student, right? So I had like a 3.7 GPA in high school, and I graduated 21st in my class of over 320 people, told me I shouldn't go to college. I should focus on finding a husband and raising a family. Mm. And I mean, and yes, I hope that we don't tell our children that anymore anywhere in the world, right? That you don't need an education. But for her to tell me that in, you know, the great United States of America in 1987 was practically criminal. Like, thankfully, I didn't take her advice at all, right? So, you know, I am educated. I do have several degrees. And not that having a piece of paper makes you an educated person. I want to state that as well. I know so many people who are smarter than me and have so much more knowledge than I do who never went to college. So I'm not saying college is the be-all, end-all. But I did go on to do those things, which afforded me places in life, which allowed me to be where I am today. Even though my college degrees aren't required for what I do today, they certainly have helped me understand the world and know to educate my daughter beyond, you know, the things that people would say, oh, she doesn't need. It hurts. It hurts to see women being oppressed because they don't have access. It's one thing for a woman to decide for herself she wants to be a stay-at-home mom, or she wants to work someplace where there is no requirement for further education, or for, to take herself out of the running. You know, I always want to empower women to make the choices that they want to do. But when our children are making choices to get pregnant and to think that that's their ticket to a future, instead of encouraging them to stay in school, encouraging them to get educated, encouraging them to find careers, because you can have it all, despite what they would tell us growing up, that you can't be a mother and have a career. I was a single mom and I have a career and I have a very well-adjusted child, right? So she is somebody who is an amazing person and amazing human in this world who feels even more deeply than I do about the issues. And so you can, if you work hard enough, do all the things that you want to do. So telling women that they can't all those years is such a fallacy and such a way to keep us from having those roles that men just wanted to keep for themselves. That's how I believe anyway about it.
I totally agree with you. At the same, a lot of people that they are there. It's also funny because I sent you another article, which we don't want to talk about it. Like, people are scared from women get educated or they're choosing their career. Now people are scared that women will not give birth to children. But this is my choice mm-hmm. in life. If I want to have kids, if I don't want to have kids, if I want to stay home, or if I want to go to work and build a career, that absolutely should be the woman's decision and no one yeah. else. But it's my right to go to school. It's my right to get educated. Mm-hmm. And that is the issue, because some people, they don't see it, because as you said, then, like, with all respect for the teacher, we're not going to say bad words. We cannot say about her. The one she told you, I should go get married and then have a kid. That is the thing is, because I will talk in different angle. If you ask a woman to do after high school, don't go for further education, go get married and she has kids. Life is force majeure. I believe that something can happen. If her husband passed away or whatever, she get divorced, she ended up with 1-2 kids. She cannot afford to buy them anything. She has to do 1 or 2 jobs to be able to feed them. We can do better. We can educate everyone that at the end, of course, if you want to get married, just stay home, fully respect. If you want to go to school, do that. But still in 2024, a lot of women, they don't have access to education.
Yeah,
and I know we said we're not going to bring politics, but I was reading the other day news and it's really disturbed me. Afghanistan, now I don't know if somebody followed, Taliban is taking back the country. And Afghanistan in the 70s, women were wearing skirts going to university. And now they are forbidden women to read and write. Mm-hmm. And that is not in any religion on this earth. You cannot forbid them. They're forbidden them to read and write, so they can more control them. Say then, so if he can read something and he told her, like, oh, he's reading in a joke, he will tell her, this is God say, you do whatever. She will say, of course, I believe you, because she doesn't know how to read and write. And still, the numbers that you were saying earlier, the huge numbers, it is not we're talking 1 or 2 or 3 millions, it's like 180 millions around the world. That is really big number, and there's a lot of organization doing great around the world to do I know UNICEF is giving for kids notebooks or backpacks or providing them with teachers. I know UNFPA for UN for women, they are supporting women with projects. They're funding their projects to do some work, because how much you living in the States, I live in the Netherlands and Europe, our countries where we live, it's still a lot to improve in our life. It's beautiful, but we cannot disconnect ourselves from the real world, because I believe how we are connecting WordPress, we still connect in the real world. Yeah, and not only education about teaching, it's also educating yourself about a lot of things happening in life. Yeah.
We you said it was okay for me to bring a little politics in, so I will say, you know, we're in the throes of a political campaigns, and you know, our new president will be decided this year, and the vice presidential nominee on the Republican side made a comment in a speech a few years back and is still not backing down from it this year. He's been asked several times if he regrets saying it, and he will not say he regrets saying it. But he says that people who are child-free, or he says childless, right, have no right, in his mind, to help plan the future of our nation, because they don't have a physical tie to the future of our nation. I obviously could not disagree more. Like, that is, to me, to put somebody in any kind of power that says, well, if you're choosing to be childless, or for whatever circumstances you are childless, you should not have a vote in what happens in the future of our country, because you don't have a stake in that future. Now, my daughter and her husband have no children. They are in their 30s, and she, let's hope she has a very long life and lives to 100 years old. So she still has 70 years on this planet. She should have no right to speak on what happens in our government, because 150 years from now, she won't have prodigy still walking the earth. That is ludicrous. I'll be 56 soon. I can't say 55 for very much longer. I'm 55. And let's hope I have at least 30 or 40 years left in me. I should have no vote because I don't have any children living at home. Like, I'm a childless cat lady, as he called us. I have cats. It's true. But that doesn't mean I shouldn't have a say in what happens in my nation, because I'm no longer bringing children into the world. And so it just boggles the mind how people can still seek to oppress women. I felt like we reached a pinnacle in the 90s and the early 2000s, at least here, where it felt like women were coming into closer to achieving equality. Like, we're still not there, right? But in the last 8 years, it feels like all we've done is step backwards. And a lot of that is because of the way that politics plays a role in how we educate women and we educate children in our nations. And so I don't care if you're in the United States, if you are in Haiti, which is the writer of that article is from Haiti, if you are in an African country, if you're in an Asian country, European country, it doesn't matter. If you are not educating your children to understand that they have rights to their own selves and that their voice is important in how their local government and their, you know, the government, the greater government is run, we are doing everybody a disservice. It just feels so dystopian at this point. And it's hard to have hope when those are the kinds of messages that you're seeing on a regular basis. And yes, I'm seeing them much more right now because we have an election coming up in November. But we have to have hope. And we have to look forward to a future where we educate women and we educate girls and we educate men and boys to also appreciate equality and to understand that they are not the dominant, and that they are not, that women are not subservient to them, and that women should have a right to be the CEO or the CTO or the director of, and all of those positions that we are absolutely fully equipped to run, that we shouldn't only get those roles if a man doesn't want them. And that's how it's felt a lot, you know, over the course of history, is that only if there's nobody else will we hire a woman to fill that role. I took a role back in, oh gosh, it was 1998. I took a role as the registrar of a business school. So that's actually where I got my MBA, here at University of Rochester in New York. I negotiated a salary. Now, I don't even want to tell you how much it was, because back in 98, the salary was a lot less than it would be today, right? The equivalent of today. But anyway, I negotiated a salary that I was very happy with at the time. And I took the role, and of course, you know, I've got this big desk, and I'm corner office. I was so happy. And I'm going through the files and figuring out, like, what do I keep? What do I need? How can I learn? And I found some pay stubs of the person who had the position before me. And it was a man. He had had the position before me. Of course I looked at them. How are you not going to look at them?
I would look.
He left them there for me. He made less money leaving that role than I made coming into that role. Oh. And I felt like that is so cool that they actually valued me, my education, and what they thought that I could contribute, that I successfully negotiated a higher salary than the incumbent person in that office, who had been a man. And for me, it just, like, all of those bring home the bacon and I'm a woman and all of those songs, like, you know, the women's anthem, so to speak, just kind of empowered me. And that's what I have always tried to do for my daughter. And I wish that I had the ability to empower all the girls everywhere to have those thoughts for themselves and to want to do better for themselves and their future generations.
I agree with you. Like, it's so, how can I say, if I look at myself and a lot of girls from my high school, I believe I reached the stars. I always said, when I was a little girl, I'm going to go work in different country. I'm going to visit the world. I'm going to go live in this and this and this. And my mom was like, I hope that. And I did it. I believe I'm really happy in my life when I was like looking at this little girl, refugee in one country, and she's, and all of the girls at 80, they're really obsessed of getting married. Me, I was like, I was taking two schools after. Mm. So I need to study. I need to do something. I want to do something for myself. And also at the same time, I don't mean to brag, when I look at my house, that my big house, I work, I pay for it equally, 50-50 with my husband. Of course, my husband getting paid five times more than me, what he's doing in the world. But for me, I don't accept it. I pay 50-50, like, this is my share because this is my house. And also, when we're talking about education, educate women in everything. October is going to be the breast cancer month. Mm-hmm. And we at Yoast at Work, at WEN, we have this Empowered Women group. We're going to educate all of our colleagues, female, and who identify themselves as a females, and other colleagues about it. Because this knowledge is also how to protect your health, to know what is my health, how can I do. It's one of the nasty disease. No cure for it. Women go horrible treatment with it, losing their hair. There's a lot of surgery, losing their breast, and a lot of health insurance. All of the health insurance, they don't cover the surgery after. Mm-hmm. And that does give you a lot of mental health issues, a lot of impact in your life. Mm-hmm. And to educate women how to prevent this, something simple. I'm not going to say let all of us be science, let all of us be doctors, engineers. No, but that's something small. How to educate women about their body, their self, how to prevent it. That is itself empowering women. And it's at the same time, a lot of women in Europe and Netherlands, they don't know how to do self-test, or which year I should go to do the test, because how much liberation be in Europe? Like, the test is here 50 years for women 50 years old and above, because genetically women, but I'm coming from country that women can get it in their 30s. I wish I can take my genes from home to here, but I can't. It's not possible yet. I cannot transfer them. So education is really important. And also at the same time, a lot of organization doing awesome. I know a lot of women in WordPress. I know Aida, you know her, she's teaching women how to use WordPress and build website. There's a lady from Ugandan WordPress community, Sharon, also. She helped educating women, educating kids about learning WordPress. And that is really powerful itself. And I know we are talking about it, and I hope we, in the future, a lot of women teaching women, because I don't like to wait for men to give it to us. We should help each other to do it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I think we could talk about this forever, and there's so many studies and gender and women's studies exist because of the history of under-educating women and under-empowerment of women. In some cases, that's a very big understatement. but yeah, and I don't know in the UK, I'm sorry, in Europe and other parts of the world, but here we have something called Equal Pay Day in the United States. And that is the distance into the next year that a woman has to work to equal the pay of a man in the same position the previous year. So, for example, I don't know, job X, a man worked all of 2023 and he earned X number of dollars. A woman in same job X had to work into March of the next year to earn that same amount of money. Yeah. And that's what equal pay day is.
The salary gap,
Yeah, it also changes based on ethnicity. So women who are, I think it's Hispanic women or Native American women that almost have to work 2 full years, like all the way into October, November of the next year to earn the same money that a man was making the previous year. So they are almost 50% of a man's salary for the exact same job. So it's not just women. It's absolutely disproportionate depending on the ethnicity of the women as well. And then if you add disabilities into that, it also is worse. So yeah, we get the raw end of the stick a lot of the times.
No, the salary gap in Europe, it's so crazy, and there's a lot of salary gap. I'm really happy at Yoast they have this policy, all of us equal. It doesn't matter if you're men, women, if you're Dutch, non-Dutch, all of us get, if you're doing the same job, you're getting the same pay. Maybe the difference is year of experience, or you have a degrees for it or something, but all of us, I'm really happy to work. But here it's normal that men get paid more than women. The only countries I think in Europe are the Scandinavian countries who have kind of equal pay. I found it really ridiculous. And also something sad, and I'm really pissed me off. I was learning about Dutch culture. I love Dutch culture. I love Dutch people. But 20 years ago, if you're working in a bank and you get pregnant and give birth, you will be fired because your brain cannot work as a normal person because you're busy with your. Yeah, it is really crazy.
It is crazy.
I know a lot of Dutch people. None of them were that kind of mind, but I don't know who was in the government who decided this one can give me a good rule. Let's make it. No, yeah.
Two weeks, I think it was 2 weeks ago, somewhere in the last month, was in the United States, it was the 40, 45 year anniversary of women being able to open their own bank accounts and have a credit card. It was in the 70s in the United States that women were finally able to have their own, like have a credit card or have a bank account without a man's name on it as well. And I texted my daughter that. I'm like, I cannot believe that was in my lifetime, blah, blah, blah. She sent me back a picture of a woman. Let me find it and read it to you. She sent me back a picture of a woman. She said, I said, 50 years ago, women got the right to apply for a credit card without a man's signature. I'll be 56 in October. That's within my lifetime. Crazy. And she says, wait, it's so funny you say that. I said, why so? She says, because I just celebrated my good colleague and friend's retirement anniversary from the bank. And she said the week she started, that law came into effect. And then she sent me a picture of this beautiful woman with her. It was a beautiful black woman. My daughter's a black woman. And so to see the two of them beaming at this picture was really beautiful, celebrating their accomplishments. But yeah, she's like, wait, I can't believe you just said that, because she just said that too. So
yeah, it's so crazy. Does people think, like, if you're a woman and your father passed away and you don't have a brother and you don't have uncle or whatever, and what you will do? Like, you'll beg in the street, what do you do? Just hold the money in your bags or in your socks and your drawers, you hide them? I don't know.
It's insane. Sometime I'll talk about when I used to work as a volunteer at the Susan B. Anthony House here in Rochester. She famously in the United States was one of the people that got women the right to vote in the United States. So sometime we'll talk about that and some of the things I learned about women's rights within the United States. But this is not a podcast about the U.S., but that's my lived experience. And so that's my point of reference. But yeah, we could chat about that sometime. It's amazing how little, you know, so let's take this back to educating women. If women today aren't educated about our own women's history, we assume that we've always had these rights, right? So, like, it would not have occurred to my daughter that in her mother's lifetime, I would not have been able to get a credit card, right? And do those kinds of things. But we educate people to understand the history isn't that long ago that things were bad. Right. Or not as good. And we think, and like, the civil rights movement in the United States was in the 50s and 60s. Right. I mean, and we're still struggling, of course. But that's when, you know, people were marching and people, and there were so many deaths and just, it's not over. I know. But the civil rights movement, that's when it began with Martin Luther King Jr. and all of that. And so that's not that long ago. But anything that happens before your consciousness feels like a million years ago. Right. And so we need to continue to educate people so they understand that the rights they have today didn't exist within their parents' lifetime in a lot of ways. And so understanding that, I think knowledge is power in that, so that we make sure that we don't turn the clocks back. Anyway, I wasn't going to get on my soapbox, but there it is. I'm on my soapbox every week. No, I mean, that's why we have this podcast, right? So to bring up the hard points. Anyway, I don't know what the takeaway is. Educate women. Fight for the education of women and girls.
Education is powerful in any aspect of life. If it's about learning a new skill, learning your rights, learning your history as a woman, can know a history of other women in other country, or even how to protect yourself from future disease. But knowledge is powerful in any aspect.
That's the title of this episode. Knowledge is power, I think.
Yeah, we came up now also with the title.
I love it. Well, we're productive. Thanks for bringing up, doing good research and bringing up good topics for us, Samai. I really appreciate that. as we said, next week we're going to be talking to Alexander and Bette about WordPress Accessibility Day. And accessibility is more than disability, right? So why we have accessibility on the web, primarily, of course, is for people with disabilities to have access. But there are, I love this. I love the fact that accommodating people with disabilities is also tied to your SEO, which is your wheelhouse. And so I think that it's like, if you hate disabled people, do it for the SEO, right? So, but let's do it for more than that. So next week, we're going to talk about WP Accessibility Day, why it exists, and why accessibility is important, and then we'll go from there. So if you have questions in advance of that topic, or if you have questions about today's, hit us up either publicly or privately on our socials, or you can go right to our website and fill out a form there. Thanks for hanging in there with us and listening to our thoughts on what we think are some pretty important matters. So thank you, Sima. I appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you, Michelle. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And see you next week.
All right, bye.
Bye.
If you're interested in using our database, joining us as a guest for an episode, or just want to say hi, go to underrepresentedintech.com. See you next week.